Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, attorney Andres Lopez. And this, to close the loop on the Obama and Democratic Party and your involvement. Now, what exactly are you doing now during these 4 years? He's already won the election. So I know you're spending, you told me you're spending a couple of week and a half or so traveling. What are you doing specifically for the Democratic Party or for the government? I don't know. I'm not sure what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of government work, I am certainly getting asked to help folks who do want to work with the administration. I'm certainly happy to do that. And really, a couple of things. You know, and I have a number of hats or titles, if you will. I'm like, I'm an at-large member of the DNC, so that makes me a super delegate.
The DNC, you know, is a Democratic.
The DNC is the Democratic
National.
The Democratic National Committee, essentially the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And that makes me a super delegate.
The one that writes me twice a week and calls me three times a week. I have never seen such dogged stubbornness. I mean, it's incredible.
Let me tell you, I mean, and the thing is, you know, you would think that, right, as you say, it's ultimately annoying, but then it works. You know, the proof is in the pudding. The numbers that you know, we were able to put up, I mean, and for the campaign, $1.1 billion. I mean, numbers that just boggle the mind. The other thing, which, of course, you mentioned, and I take with great pride, because it really... I find increasingly with each passing day has moved the needle forward for the Hispanic community in the States, is this chairmanship of the Futuro Fund, which was a big Latino-driven fundraising arm, which now we really hope to take in a number of different directions. We want to leverage that into, you know, actual empowerment and find new ways of getting economic opportunity. And of course, like we were talking at the start of the program, it all really is anchored on the concept of education. So, you know, what has happened now is that because of the added success in this second campaign, you know, now to talk about the Latino community, it's not just a nice to have, so to speak, or it's not, you know, a small element. I mean, this is a pivotal part of
raise money, and it has votes and has money now.
and the
really strong combination. That,
absolutely. And how do we look
gives to leverage?
And exactly. And so how do we look to leverage, you know, to use that leverage, and how do we get to really insert all of this into the mainstream? Because with the numbers that the community has, you know, the story of Latinos increasingly is a story of America. So you know, that's the challenge these next 4 years. And so I think it's going to be tremendously interesting, and I hope to be able to play a leading role in that.
And one of the things, of course, that happened was interesting, because of that collaboration for the Obama campaign in Puerto Rico, is you had to combine the state voters with the with the Estado Libristas.
And I think that should happen a lot more.
I know you're a state voter. You've been a state voter all your life, or that would have been reason. You've been a state voter all your life.
So, since I have use of reason.
And you became a Democrat. That was kind of little by little, or
you know, I have I've actually voted in one presidential campaign in addition to, of course, the primaries in 08. In 96, I was actually working after graduating from law school, so I voted for Bill Clinton, and I told him that the other day. I got the honor of introducing him, and I said, you know, I voted one campaign. I want to vote more, you know, giving the whole spiel.
Don't give me any political. This program does not have any political overtones. So
see, right there. Cut me off.
Don't give me that.
No. But I did.
Just kidding.
He's you know, such a giant of a man, so we had a pretty interesting chat, and you know, but of course, it's more an affinity. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not sort of doctrinaire, which is, you know, only the orthodoxy of one or the other. And I think that's actually one of the things that drew me to President Obama. I mean, I think he strives very hard, and, you know, it's obviously a very polarized time that we're living in. But I think notionally, one of the things to which he aspires is to be able to, you know, do what he can to bring people together. And I think that's especially a challenge here. I don't think it's a bigger challenge
understatement
than Democrats and Republicans. But, you know, that was, I think, one of the really great things about this whole thing, where, you know, people had to leave their parochial local interests at the door for the benefit of a greater goal. And, you know, people got along just fine. Yeah, the world didn't end. You know, blues and reds were able to deal with each other.
Roberto Prats and Ken McClintock.
Right. Yeah, they were, you know, and of course it helped that they were good friends. But even at the, you know, at the non-leadership levels, I mean, it just forced people to work together. And I thought that was very healthy. I thought that was great.
I'm not involved in politics and much less in the Democratic Party, and I sort of, you know, voted both. I've been in favor of both Republican candidates and Democratic given moment, but my involvement with Obama in terms of involvement, got wanting to help him financially, I don't know him, never saw him, but was kind of a Harvard connection also. I was with an organization, and in that organization, executive committee, it's called Lex Mundi, Barry White, who was the managing partner of a leading Boston law firm. And I always asked him, you know, what are you doing and what you're getting involved with? And he says, well, I'm helping Obama. And I said, who's that? He said, well, he's, you know, a senator from Illinois. He gave the talk at the convention. You may remember. Oh, yeah, yes, I remember. And he said, I said, well, why are you in favor of him? He says, well, he's just terrific, George. He's just terrific. Yeah. And I said, but, you know, don't. Why do you think he's terrific? He says, well, let me do something for you. I'm going to send you a speech that he gave on Iraq at the very beginning of his, I think it was his first year as a senator. And read it and tell me if you don't agree with me that is just one fantastic speech by a young senator. And he did send it right away, and it was a fantastic speech. He was the first person to come out, you know, against the Iraq war, but done in such an elegant way. He says, I'm not against, you know, war because my father was, you know, and this is, I'm not against war, you know, because blah, blah. He says, but I'm against this war because, you know, it doesn't meet these principles. So it was very, very good. Let's change. And we got a couple of minutes, and then the next segment we'll discuss more in detail. But in terms of development of your career, you are a sole practitioner, but you've practiced with your wife, so it's a family. Both of you are lawyers, and then you share with another family member expenses in the show. But you're basically, you know, on your own, and a specialist in federal litigation, and all. How has that developed? Where you graduated from Harvard Law School. Yeah. What did you do? You've been in private practice for about 10 years. What did you do to get to private practice? In this program, I'd like to sort of, you know, discuss, I think the listeners are always interested in how the history of a person and how he got to where he finally is. And of course, you know, where does he want to eventually be? But which is the question I'm going to ask of you towards the end. Sure. Where do you want to be? But in terms of getting to being a sole, I mean, I consider a sole practitioner when you're with your wife. As a sole practitioner, how did this develop? You're from Harvard Law School. You did what?
So from Harvard Law School, and that was that's 18 years ago. So it starts to add up. That's the problem when you start doing the math. I actually did one of the
group. As they say, time passes.
Oh man. And you were saying, you know, before the kid who's about to go to college, and you look at it, go, okay, time does pass.
It goes fast.
It stops for no one. I did one of the things upon graduation that I would recommend any aspiring lawyer do before getting out there, which is I had the honor and the privilege of working for a federal judge. And when you are able to work at the feet of someone like that, when you're starting your career off, it just provides such an immeasurable number of benefits and just wisdom, because you're really cutting your teeth. You know, you've gotten the formal education, so to speak, but in terms of the practical stuff, especially if you want to be out there, you know, as I knew I wanted to be
a litigator.
Litigator, so, you know, that's.
I'm not so sure it's the best for a corporate attorney.
No, it is.
I could be
isn't.
Persuaded, but I'm not
it
so far.
It's, you know, I would argue that even if you wanted to be a corporate attorney, but I'll grant. grant you that it's certainly
better. I was in litigation for a couple of years, and the thing I learned the most is litigation is not very if I have a friend and a client, I think I'd rather have them not go through litigation. But anyway, you got in, you said with a clerkship, and of course you're going to be a litigator, and you decide between Puerto Rico. You did this in Boston, so
well, I mean, when you
federal court in Boston, right?
Yeah, I did. When you looking at what the, you know, these things are called clerkships. So when you're looking at federal clerkships, which are, you know, very prestigious, what you want is to be able to do it with someone that, you know, you're really gonna, you feel you're gonna get something really out of the experience, because they're, you know, usually 1 or 2 year deals, and. And then you're just sort of absorbing information like a sponge and learning really from other practicing attorneys, right? Because you're on the other side of the bench, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, you're with the judge, and helping him draft, you know, legal opinions and doing legal research and actually figuring out, or helping him or her figure out, how to solve problems.
Yeah, right.
That's actually a tremendous skill. And so I had that opportunity coming straight out of law school. So I did that for about a year. And then for about 3 or 4 years after that, I worked at the at a very, very high caliber Boston law firm with just a lot of the lions of the Boston bar. In fact, the firm were my mentor, who eventually
Steinfield,
would end up,
Joe Steinfield
would end up. So that was, you know, just a phenomenal.
Let me take a break on this. We're going to discuss some of the experiences within that law firm that help you develop as a lawyer today. I'm with Andres Lopez, attorney Andres Lopez, and we'll be right back after this break.